Now back to Experts on Call on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good afternoon once again. If you're just joining us, great conversation with Darren Fleming. He's the CEO, office leasing expert, and broker of record with Real Strategy. Darren, what are some of the challenges of getting employees back to physical space?
Well, there's a couple factors. One, and this is one that I think really a lot of executives struggle with. It's just easier if you, either purposely or inadvertently start to paint all your employees within a team, a department, your company with the same brush, and try to come up with these easy to understand policies that kind of affect everybody equally. So for example, we've seen a lot of our clients say, okay, we're going to have a minimum of 2 or 3 days a week in the office, except that works for nobody well. So what we've seen is when we actually sit down with you and go through who your people are and where they are at as individuals, that, well, Bob here, he's got his kids this week, but not the next. And Sheila, she's decided to move out to Perth because we gave her the opportunity and told her that, frankly, we didn't know when we were going to be coming back. So if you don't take into consideration the individual preferences and home life situations of your employees, when you come out with these blanket statements, everybody feels a little bit underserved and underwhelmed. The truth is, we want to give people flexibility. And it's almost like we don't have a policy. The policy is, instead of having attendance mandatories, I think it really should be productivity. And someone who knows their job, who doesn't interact with others a lot, doesn't necessarily need to come in the same way that someone who's maybe starting in a new position and needs mentorship. You can flip it around and say, well, what if that person is nearing retirement and we need to get onto knowledge transfer? Well, it just speaks to the necessity of having to deal with them as individuals to come up with a plan that works not only for you as the employer, but for them as individuals. And lastly, we've got some employees who were used to doing one thing before the pandemic with respect to their daily commute, who now, after 2.5 years of doing something completely different, have become accustomed to it and many cases like it. So I think the other big challenge is the change management project that's, really we're all going through, is to show them the benefit of getting into a new habit. And, you could say reducing salt in your diet's important, but if you think food's important to you, you might not want to do it. But if I showed you the benefits of making a proper health choice, the same way I might show you the benefit of changing the way you've been experiencing and connecting with your colleagues by being at home most of the time, by coming down to our magnetic space and maybe creating a contribution you didn't know you could have and having an experience you didn't know you could have, we start to see the eyes open and smiles coming back and people remembering how great it was to get together.
Now, this is a new dynamic for staff. Darren, I'm curious, is there been or has there been a problem or an issue with, say, older staff coming on board versus the younger staff, the older staff saying, I'm going to be retiring soon and I don't really know if I like this change or hybrid work plan or whatever. Are these some of the things that are popping up as well?
Absolutely. That's a very typical type of way to inadvertently put everybody in the same bucket. What we've seen is there's some older staff who say, I'm excited for a new challenge. We've seen some others who said, I don't like change as much. What we have seen from the surveys that we've done is with an older staff member, they're just more likely to be at a higher level of income as opposed to someone in the same position who's just more junior. And that translates into they might have a better home environment where it's more conducive to doing remote work. So we have seen younger people typically wanting to come in a little bit more, but then that flips over once they start to have small children. So I think really what we've seen is some people say, look, if I'm older and retirement's coming, maybe I just don't want to learn any more new tricks and this old dog's going to take the party elsewhere. So we've seen increased retirement, early retirements all in every sector from people who just said, it's a hassle right now and I just don't want to deal with it. But at the same time, we've seen young people say, I'm more fluid than ever. I'm more flexible than ever. I'm going to vote with my feet to go to an organization that I align with better, that is, that meets me where I am in terms of my daily, weekly, monthly needs with respect to commuting and where I prefer to work and most productive. But I think that's one of the big challenges, is getting past a big demographic bucket and pulling back the layers to get down to the needs of the individual. It's hard and it's sticky. And a lot of companies have never had to do it before.
Well, you know what? This is a really exciting challenge, regardless of demographic. And I certainly hope that, decision makers and CEOs and organizations do stay on board with this, because I think this line of thinking is perfect for the future.
Not only is it perfect, I'd say it's essential. If you don't do it, you can't trust that someone who's just going to do what you say as the employer because you've asked. We don't have that luxury anymore. That's not to say that you're not the boss and the employees don't have to, at the end of the day, deliver on expectations with respect to productivity and the tasks they're assigned. But that's the essence of the question. As long as they do that, does it really matter where they do it? I do believe that humans like to come together in groups. We enjoy eating together. We enjoy socializing. We are a social animal. And trust, to those employers who are kind of scratching their heads saying, how can I not have a policy about attendance? If we convert to managing productivity and output as opposed to just monitoring attendance, I can tell you that the level of trust that is required to do that permeates through the whole organization. And employees who feel that they're trusted, many, and I would say most, rise to the occasion. You may find that the guy who got in at 7 a.m. and left at 7 p.m. was actually playing solitaire half the day, whereas someone who's managing to get their work done in half the time has time for a second job. Is that wrong? Or is that the way of the future? And I think we're going to find out over the next 3 to 5 years.
Now, this way, this new work dynamic, is it more prevalent in the public sector or the private sector? And are there differences? And is one standing out more than, say, the other at this point?
Well, the challenge of the public sector, and I would say very large organizations, the Facebook, the Wall Streets, the people who make the papers, is that when you've got 400,000 employees, you can't assume that all of them are excellent. You're going to have great people, you're going to have good people, and you're going to have some people who maybe need a bit more supervision than others. And so it's hard in that type of context to have a policy that assumes trust. But most of us don't work for an organization like that. Most of us work for small organizations with teams, where everybody's on a first name basis, and you get to see each other relatively often, if not in person, then at least across the screen. I think it's easier, and I would strongly recommend in those types of team environments to err on trust. And if someone turns out to be untrustworthy, that might be the basis of maybe moving them on out of your organization. The public sector and large organizations also tend to occupy a lot of space. They're really big. And so it takes a long time to transition to whatever your new footprint is. So they're going to lag behind, I'll say, the bleeding edge of smaller organizations who, frankly, their leases are shorter and the cost of moving from one space to the another is just less in total dollars. But government has a bit of a challenge in that, they own the cost through their benefits program of all the mental health and stress that comes with serving people badly. So if you force people to come in and commute much longer than they prefer, to work in an environment that's not magnetic, that perhaps even depresses them a little bit, well, guess what? You own the outputs of that being, lots of paid leave and stress leave. And I think government is starting to get it, and their plan for their new workplace 2.0 replacement, which is called GC Workplace, is very much aligned with everything we've talked about in terms of creating magnetic space. So I'm excited to see them do it. They've got a big hill to climb and a lot of people to convince, but I think the approach they're taking is sound.
I think so too. And certainly in this market, in the Ottawa Gatineau market, we're taking a leadership role here. Certainly there are government offices in other cities across the country, but it all starts here in the Ottawa area.
It does. And, what I've found in my career, which started in 2000, is that anytime there's some kind of, unexpected blip with respect to the economy or the workforce, it takes a few years for government to kind of react to it. So, the recession of the early 90s, the tech bubble bursting, the credit market crash in 2008. And if we use that one as an example, I mean, the government didn't change their hiring strategy and start trying to pay for bailing out the economy until 2010-11. That's when the staff cuts came. That's when their office space needs changed. And it's the same thing here. You know, so we had a pandemic start in 2020. We're only coming to the point where we might say, big question mark, has it ended? And so government's going to be slow to implement some of its strategies in terms of what their new space requirements are going to be. But they're making very loud signals that it's coming very soon. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago at the real estate forum, we learned that in the next couple of months that there should be a list of 2 to 3 million square feet of government-owned buildings that they think will be surplus forever because they're just not coming back to work in the same way. And some of these buildings are so old and need to be completely gutted and redone that they think maybe these are going to be candidates to be knocked down to repurpose for things like, you know, housing. So it's happening. This is not a maybe. This is absolutely going to happen, and it's going to have a tremendous impact on the office market, which is good for tenants who want to get great deals.
Experts on Call on News Talk 580 CFRA. Our guest, Darren Fleming from Real Strategy. Quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll return with more Experts on Call on News Talk 580 CFRA.